Hey guys, I'm Mark Potter. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Guys, today's episode is brought to you by Ricoh. Visit www.ricoh-usa.com to imagine change. You can face the future with confidence. Your commercial and industrial printing solutions are designed to support your vision, your business, and your future when using Ricoh. Whether it's cut sheet, wide format, continuous feed, or industrial printing, you can expand your creativity and your reach. Visit www.ricoh-usa.com. Guys, I'm really excited about this conversation today. I am sharing with you a discussion I had with Connor Gillivan. Connor is a serial entrepreneur. He's an e-commerce expert. He's an author. But more than that, he is a successful young man. And I am someone who's a bit sick of using the term millennial and defining all these different groups of people by generation. He's simply someone who is driven, who is thoughtful and successful. He had a landscaping business at the age of 14. He created a business in college with his partner that was aligned with Amazon. And he has now created a new company called FreeUp, where he engages freelancers with clients that need them. And he's created it in a way that is much more efficient than some of the traditional freelance portals that are out there. And so, but more importantly, he is someone that is thoughtful, energetic, maybe beyond his years. And so I am really, really excited about sharing my discussion with Connor Gillivan. So without further ado, give it a listen. Connor.
Hey.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate you taking some time. I'm super excited to talk to you. I think it's, you know, obviously when I look at the stuff you've authored and what you've done, it's really cool. And I'm going to tell you this up front because on some level, you know, I don't really like you because you make me feel like a little bit less of myself. And you know, I look back and go, gosh, you know, at a young age, this kid was rocking it. And I think that's fantastic. I tease, but I think that's fantastic. This is a casual little conversation. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Sure. And I think for my listeners, the biggest thing is to try to just I try to give them a little insight, and I think this will be fun for them to hear kind of your perspective. Mm-hmm. And so tell me, give us a little 411 on you, and then maybe kind of what. I mean, and when I say 411, I mean, go back, you know, where you grew up and what, you know.
Yeah,
and,
give you the full story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Give me the Connor story, man.
Yeah, of course. Just before I jump into that, I want to make sure I know, like, your audience well. So I took a look through your site and through a lot of your content. So I think I have an idea of who your audience is, but can you just give me, like, in a snippet, like, who your ideal listeners are and who's going to be kind of tuning into this?
Sure, absolutely. So, it you know, I define them as marketing service providers. Traditionally, the industry was print service providers. They were printers. But as you can imagine, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, our industry...
forced the change.
Oh, yeah. Man, they have adopted them. And when you go to our... when you go to our conferences and you go and you see the technology... In fact, I just flew back from... at Ricoh out in Colorado, and you know the technology is amazing. You know, inkjet and the like, and then the thinking, it's really, really cool. So they have morphed to get themselves involved with not just ink on paper but campaign management and the like. So yes, you've got some tradition and some aging businesses, but there's been an influx of new thinking. And mm-hmm. It's not really a far departure from a lot of industry in this country, right? I mean, we were rooted in the industrial sure. age, and yeah. now you've kind of get to this new connection age or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So they're going through that transformation, and there's a lot of my personal clients are they're just a different mindset. They're marketing mind. So,
cool.
Does it give okay. you a feel awesome. For it? Yeah, that's great. So,
yeah, that's perfect. Thanks.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. So, today I live in Denver, Colorado, just moved out here about 7 months ago. But I'm originally from Albany, New York, which is just upstate New York.
Yeah.
I grew up there. I went to college in Connecticut, and then I actually lived in Orlando, Florida for about 5 years, prior to moving out here to Colorado.
Very cool.
But, my upbringing was pretty good. I was always kind of encouraged to make sure education was first, but that, to follow my passions and kind of figure out what worked out best for me. And, after I got out of college, my parents' motto is always, as long as you can pay the bills, we support you in whatever you're doing. So yeah. I always kind of had a pretty open playing field for where I could head. And because of that, I think it led me very much down the entrepreneurial path where I could kind of paint my own future, build something up from the ground, and of course, fail and learn along the way, but you know, really move towards that type of lifestyle as an entrepreneur.
Cool.
And so the main thing that really launched me into it was actually when I was in high school. My first job when I was about 14 was working with one of my older cousins, and he had become an entrepreneur himself. He had started his own landscaping business in the local area, and over the course of a number of years, he was able to build it up into something that was, you know, allowed him to build a family, to buy a house, to get married, and start having kids. And for me, that was a really good influence to show me how an entrepreneur can grow up, how they can pretty much take control of their life and really run with it. Mm-hmm. So that was my first exposure to it. And it really opened my eyes and got me impassioned about it. So in high school, I also had my own little landscaping business that I just ran in my local area. You know, I was printing out flyers and dropping them off in people's mailboxes and running around the neighborhood after school and in the summers to make sure I was getting my clients happy. So very young age exposed to the world of entrepreneurship, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And was that, I mean, did your parents instill in you? Because that's, I mean, quite honestly, that's one of the things in today's world is that, you know, I was mowing lawns at 10 years of age, you know, and you wonder, right. You know, what are the summer jobs? And so did they instill that work ethic in you?
Yeah, definitely. I was always pushed to be helping out around the house. And I was always, you know, taught to respect everyone that I ran into and always taught to work hard. And like I said, they always said, you know, put education first and do as best as you can in that. It's going to bring you a long way in the rest of your life. So they were always a great motivation for me to keep trying things and to keep working hard.
That's cool. That's cool. So, and then, you did that, then you went off to, QU, which I'm very familiar yeah. with. I lived in Madison, Connecticut for 5 minutes. And, my kids, you know, play hockey. My daughter played there. We went to hockey. Great. I mean, their hockey program is unbelievable. You know, I think they went to the Frozen Four, or didn't they? They lost to Yale in the finals a couple of years back, didn't they?
Yep. They've been to the finals a couple times, and they did unfortunately lose to Yale. I think it was maybe like 2012 or something, 2013, something like that.
Yeah. So that's cool. And so you studied business there, I assume, economics.
Yep, I studied economics and took a lot of math courses as well. Math was something I was always interested in, and had some great experiences there. That was where I run into my next two entrepreneurial journeys. The first was I actually found a program through a company called Think Impact. They were based out of DC at the time, and I interned with them and traveled to South Africa to help them build social businesses there.
Oh, wow.
So I was in South Africa for about 3 months over the summer of 2010, and I was living in a pretty rural community, working with the people there to come up with ideas for businesses that not only made the individuals profits or money, but also helped their community in some way at a kind of a larger aspect of growing their area. So that was a really cool experience and just kind of opened my eyes to a completely different way of life.
Yeah. Wow. That is good. And it's interesting to hear you about experiences. I'm big on this whole concept of, you know, people need to find their own unique experiences, you know, it's harder in today's world because we're so plastered with technology and entertainment. It's all, I look at my kids today obviously the device is in their hand all the time, but I'm trying to encourage them, look, you've got to find ways to observe the world through your own eyes and feel and touch and senses. Mm-hmm. And you know, so that's cool. So you inherently kind of got that, if you will. I'm assuming that makes you better at what you do today.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it just, like I said, it completely opened my eyes to a different way of living. And it's kind of what you were talking about, just how busy and distracted the world has become with technology. Granted, technology is an amazing thing that helps us do a lot more, but it also is a distraction. And it's almost as if you have too many options. It's a lot harder to choose one of those experiences. It brought me back to what was most important to me and kind of allowed me to mold my mind into a way where I was making sure that I was working on what was most important to me and kind of heading in that direction once I got back to the States. So really cool experience and taught me a lot about a completely different side of entrepreneurship that I didn't know about yet as well.
That's cool. That's awesome. All right. So from there, then what happened?
Yeah, so then I get back and I met my business partner, who I continue to work with today. And we were in about the same year, we had a bunch of classes together, and he had recently realized a big problem on campus that I think a lot of people are familiar with is the whole textbook industry, where the campus bookstore will charge you $500 for a textbook and then try to pay you $10 for it at the end of the semester. Hoping that you don't realize that you lost $490 in the process.
Right. What's funny is you bought it, you sold it, and yet in some respects the book probably has more value because it's been highlighted in certain areas, right? If you think
sure.
about it,
yeah,
you know,
if the student actually used it, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, so that was how I got into my next business. He was starting to buy textbooks, and then he discovered the Amazon Marketplace, so just Amazon.com. And this was about 2009, and it was around the time that Amazon was really starting to allow third-party sellers to come onto their website and sell products as well. And so we got into that business pretty quickly, spent about a year buying and selling textbooks and really learning how Amazon worked. And at that point, we decided that we wanted to also expand into other products. So we started researching and reaching out to brands and manufacturers around the United States looking to help them sell their products through Amazon. And we set up relationships with them and listed their products. And as we received sales, we'd send them to them, and then the manufacturer would actually ship the product to the customer. So we were able to set up a business model where we were managing sales for these brands on Amazon, but we weren't actually touching the product. So it was a really cool business model that we were able to run out of our dorm rooms and our college houses. And then we continued to work on that for about 4 years after we graduated and really built it up into a good business with a good team and good revenues and really learned a lot from that.
Wow. That's awesome. And so, I mean, tell me about some of your, that's amazing. And that's where, that's why I was telling you where you make me, jealous, because, you know, you look back and I was probably immersed in, fraternity parties and the like, and here you are running off the business. But so key learnings. What from that? Like, if you said, look, the things that you didn't know that after you did that, what were the biggest takeaways? Did you think?
Yeah, of course. So a few of the biggest ones were hiring, about hiring and managing people.
Yeah.
So when we were running the business, we actually hired a good amount of our college friends to help us handle different aspects of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bigger mistakes that we made at first was we hired one person and taught them how to do all the tasks, pretty much everything. And what we found was that when that person wasn't able to work on a certain day, or they were getting close to taking internships or taking other jobs, we really had put ourselves in a bad situation where we had relied on them so much. And if they were to take a day off or if they were to leave, it all fell back onto our plate.
Yeah.
So we really learned from that experience that it's much smarter to kind of diversify and set up very small tasks and hire people individually for those, so that if one person has to take a day off, it doesn't absolutely crush you and put everything back on your plate.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting in the day of technology where we talk about backups. I still have that. I mean, I've had my business for almost 11 years and we have a lot of different projects and I always tell my managing editor, I mean, you know, what, please don't get hit by a bus, you know, because, you've got to have, you got to back stuff up. And, that's really interesting. And you're right. And diversify, that's cool. So that was a key learning. What else? How about just the, on the marketing side?
Yeah. So the marketing side was really interesting for this business because, we were mainly driving all of our customers through Amazon. And so they actually handled most of the marketing for us. It was really up to us to figure out how best to compete on Amazon with the other sellers. So that was really what we had to learn about in terms of marketing. So we hired out software that helped us to constantly change prices of our products so that we were always competing for the top spot on Amazon listings.
Okay.
So this business didn't expose us too much to marketing, but a totally different marketing within Amazon, just a very niche world, if you would.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. Well, all right. So now do you still have that business? Is that still going?
So we don't. We officially decided to shut it down about a year ago, after we had been spending about a year and a half on this newest business called FreeUp. And we just saw a lot of promise there. We were more passionate about it. So we decided to eventually move away from the Amazon business.
Okay, so it's you and you're with the same partner and you've launched this organization called FreeUp. Tell me about FreeUp.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, we were building this Amazon business and we were hiring a good amount of people. And at a certain point, we got introduced to this idea of outsourcing,
right,
which we had never heard about before, from a fellow entrepreneur when we were living in Orlando. And we were like, oh, okay, this seems interesting. We could possibly save some money by hiring people that are, you know, outside of the U.S. or even people that are in the U.S. but not directly in our area. And so we started using websites like Upwork and what used to be Odesk and Elance and Freelancer and Fiverr.com.
Right.
And
right.
We would go onto these sites and we would post jobs and get 10 to 25 applications from freelancers. We would set up interviews with the ones we thought looked good. We'd interview them, and then we'd, at the end, try to choose the best one for our business. And we had a lot of successes. I mean, we hired some people that I still work with today, and it's really exciting to meet someone and then work with them for 5 years but never actually meet them in person. But then we also had a lot of poor experiences where the quality of the person just didn't work out, or they were very poor at communicating. So it just led down bad paths. And so we were frustrated by this process and how much time we were spending on it. And that was the frustration that really led us to build FreeUp. And so FreeUp is all about making the online hiring experience a lot simpler. And the way we're a little bit different is that we receive applications from freelancers every week. Right now, we receive around 1,000 applications from freelancers every week that want to join our marketplace so they can get hired by businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually interview them. We vet them for their skills, their attitude, and their communication. And then we only allow the top 1% into our network.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to take the top talent, the top tier people, and then they can offer their skills to the businesses that hire with us.
Okay. And so do they have the same frustrations with these other places? And that's why, you know, they're looking for something that's a little bit because it goes both ways, right? I mean, it's not just, you know, on the hiring side, you know, you go to like you're getting 1,000 different people and you've got some spotty quality here and there. It goes the other way from the hiring side, right?
Yeah, completely agree. So for freelancers, they also have frustrations with some of these marketplaces because there's just way too much competition. So it's very hard to even stand out as they're applying to different projects for businesses. So they may apply and maybe a very good candidate, but then there's 20 other people that are going to put a price lower than them and that are going to try to get the job as well. So when they come through our network, there's less competition and it's a more direct line to potential clients that would be a good fit for them.
That's cool. So let me ask you, I thank you for that. I think it's an amazing chronology in obviously short time. I mean, some people that'd be an entire career. So you should obviously be proud of that. But let me ask you a couple philosophical things and perspective things, because are we in a free agent nation at this point? I mean, your business is built on this premise, you know, and you know, what has changed over the course of time, this industrial age mindset. And again, this speaks, you know, specifically to our readership, for example. Look, they built their businesses in the industrial age. The recipes they use for engaging their clients are from the industrial age. And you know, everything is in-house. They've defined themselves by their assets. And you know, we're in this day and age of remote workforces and free agent nation. And so there are challenges with that, but talk to that. And I mean, do you believe, one, we're in this free agent nation? My guess is you do. But then, you know, what are some of the idiosyncrasies that come along with that that you think people need to take heed of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So I do think we're going through a pretty big transition, and not just in the United States, but worldwide as well, in terms of freelancing and the gig economy becoming a big part of how businesses will have to work with individuals and professionals. I think that there's still a lot of value to having full-time employees or even part-time employees within your business. You know, they just provide a different level of service, and you have a different ability to connect with them and work with them in different ways than you do with a remote freelancer or a remote professional. But especially with the millennial generation really coming into the workforce, they just have a lot of different preferences in terms of how they want to run their career. They want more freedom. They want more control. They like the idea of running their own business, which pretty much what freelancing is. And they want that opportunity to get their own clients, to work with companies that they feel impassioned by and they feel connected to, and they want control over where they're headed in the future. So I think we're on our path there. It's not completely there, but it's a huge buzzword in the news right now. And I know a lot of people are starting to learn more about it. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, I think any business owner would default to want to hire an employee. Whereas today, maybe they have in the back of their mind, you know, what is a freelancer? Is that something that I could explore as well?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned this, and I didn't know how much I wanted to stay away from it or talk about it because, in fact, I was just in your town. Like I said, I flew out of Denver last night. And I got to tell you, we were at this thing, and there's a lot of conversation about these generations, right? And I gotta believe, I mean, aren't you, on some level, aren't you sick of it? I mean, just the conversation, oh, millennials this and blah, blah, blah. I feel like it's become a business unto itself almost. And you know, I've got, my kids are obviously going to be Gen Z, and, you know, I got a higher education magazine. We're doing an article on Gen Z right now. And, I don't know. I mean, like you're saying, you know, there's a lot of interest in running their own business, and being a free agent or freelancer is kind of like that. And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that that's necessarily generational. I think we put these people in these silos, and it's like, look, that's just a trend in general, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, our world is getting back to this. And it's so funny how we have to define. I'm kind of over it. And I wondered if, you know, you get tired of that as well.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I agree with you. I think it is more just a movement, not necessarily directly correlated to any specific generation,
right.
But just with the evolution of digital and the ability to connect and meet with people and work with them from anywhere in the world, as long as you have internet, I think that evolution has really led to this movement more towards freelancing and being able to run your own business and work with companies remotely. I would say that's probably the biggest contributing factor, not necessarily the mindset of a specific generation.
How about this? So, because one of the things from my perspective in this world, there's a challenge, right? And I think, and I'm very hopeful for this. Now, look, we've got some, mm-hmm. we've had some scary stuff happen in the world. And, you know, my belief is that stuff combined with all the technology, almost further cocoons us and puts us at arm's length, or it allows us not to take the call or return the text or the email or whatever. And so, but I still believe that we as people crave interaction, you know, like this is gold. I love this. This is important. And conversation is important. So we went through such a period where there was so much technology and it was so much like I can automate everything. And, you know, look, there's a mm-hmm. portion of that's going to continue. But do you feel like people are still need that human connection on some level?
Yes, 100%. I see it in my business every single day. A big reason that a lot of clients say that they stick with us is because of that human element. My business partner and I, we're very hands-on. So as new clients sign up, we actually reach out to them personally and see if we can answer any questions for them, or if there's any way that we could walk them through our software so they could better understand how they could use it to build their business. And then we have a team that's available at all hours of the day that can hop on the phone or hop on a quick chat with someone to answer any questions they have or help them in any way as possible. So I still think people crave that. And I think it makes a huge difference in terms of building relationships and doing business as well. I've always kind of learned and said that people, you know, eventually buy from people. They don't necessarily, you know, just buy a brand. They like to have that connection and be able to trust someone and really go after that rather than just a piece of technology. So I agree with you there. I think it's a big factor.
Yeah, I do. I mean, to me, one thing that doesn't change generation to generation or technological revolution or not, you know, I do believe that, especially in a capitalist world, I mean, you have to stake your own claim in this world. You have to do it serving others, and to be able to serve others, they need to trust you. And, you know, I had another guest on this podcast at one point who used the word safety, and I've kind of monopolized that ever since he said it, because I do believe that's a really, really interesting thing, right? I mean, even in our personal lives, you know, are you a safe bet? And my guess is that, you know, you've got this, that top 1% of the freelancers coming to you, and even your clients who are looking to hire you, they want to know that you're a safe bet. And you guys have to work hard to build that level of sincerity and trust in your brand. And I assume that's, you know, beyond the technology, that, because the technology in today's world is just like those printing presses across the country. I mean, they can be duplicated. You know, you can, they can be, it really comes back to what do you have left? And it's, you know, who are you? And or do I trust you? I mean, do you guys think and talk a lot about that?
Yeah, we do. We're always figuring out better ways to interact personally and just on a human level with our clients. And I mean, our business completely depends on other people as well. If we don't have good freelancers in the network that care about their relationships with people and that take those seriously and build trust with other businesses, you know, we're not anything. So we very much rely on a human element, even though we have a good piece of technology that manages all of the, you know, the hours and the billing and everything. But it all comes back to that human factor.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, your perspective, like if you said, give me a couple things. Your perspective of the future, you know, and I'm not asking you to look 10, 20 years, but in the next few years, what do you think are some of the key things that organizations need to consider? And then maybe follow that up with your advice. You know, if somebody said, hey, Connor, I just need some advice, you know, for my business, and maybe I'm a traditional business, and, you know, what would that look like?
Yeah, of course. So things to look out for. I personally think that freelancing is just going to become more of a common knowledge among business owners and businesses small and large. So I think that people just need to keep a lookout for opportunities where they potentially could use a freelancer, independent contractor, whatever you want to call them, that they could use them within their business that would make a bigger difference than, you know, hiring just a regular employee. There's a lot of situations where I think it makes more sense to have a freelancer than to have a full-time or even a part-time employee. So I think it's kind of being open to that world evolving and figuring out ways to incorporate it best into growing your company.
Right.
And then advice to business owners who are looking to get into it, or you know, who are just looking at this whole freelancing world. My advice is always to start slow. So if you're not familiar with it, if you're a little bit skeptical of it at first, make sure that you do some research. Make sure that you find some areas within your business where it could potentially help. And those areas usually tend to be tasks that you have on your plate that are very repetitive, very redundant, that you shouldn't necessarily be spending your time on. As a business owner, you should value your time at a very high level. So if you could take some of those tasks off your plate, that could be a good place to start. And then the other area that could be useful is if you're looking to bring in additional expertise onto your business. So, you know, if it's going to take you 3 to 6 months to learn and perfect a new skill, it may be smarter to hire a freelancer, independent contractor who can work on it a few hours a week for you, and that will help you grow your business. So those are kind of two ways that you could look at it.
Do you, let me ask you this, and you know, this is even for my personal edification, and that is, do freelancers, are there people who are freelancing and ultimately are looking for full-time gigs, and is that a great way to dip your toe in the water on both sides, right? I mean, you know, do you get into, hey, let's do a freelance contract for 90 days, and if we like each other, maybe we have a bigger conversation about full-time deal? Does that happen?
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it definitely happens. It's not as common through our marketplace because we are very much built just for people running their own freelance business that want to keep it that way. But I know for larger companies, that's very common where you could bring on someone for a trial period. They're set up as an independent contractor. They kind of work with the team, go through a few projects, show off what they can do. And then if it works out and that business is geared towards bringing on full-time employees, they'll then offer them a full-time contract and give them different benefits and retirement things along those lines. So yeah, it is definitely a common trend.
Yeah, that would be interesting because, you know, I've probably dealt with freelancers in the past who, like you said earlier, that's what they want to do. Like, they don't want the gig. They want, you know, but then there are probably others. It'd be interesting at some point to determine, you know, break that down. I don't know how you would do it. Maybe there are younger freelancers who are just trying to feel their way in this world. Because, look, that's another part of it, right? Young people historically jump into the workforce and they might jump from job to job. But part of it is they're trying to gain those experiences and to figure out a little bit about who they are. And so freelancing gives people the opportunity to do that as well. They might say, look, I've been doing this for a few years and I really know what I like to do and I'm looking for a full-time gig on that. Thinking out loud there. That's pretty cool. Well,
it's very, very true.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, last thing before I get, and I just can't thank you enough for taking the time, but let me ask you this. I know that you've do some writing, right, on blogs. Mm-hmm. And so give yourself a shameless plug here and about your blog and then kind of what you're writing about as well.
Yeah, of course. So like you said, I'm a very passionate writer. I've been doing it for pretty much my entire life. I wasn't always doing it publicly, but about 3 years ago, I started my own blog. It's just ConnorGilvin.com. And I write about a lot about the lessons that I've learned in building businesses and running e-commerce companies. And now that I'm in the whole freelancing world, I write pretty often about advice for how businesses can tap into hiring freelancers and taking advantage of that for their business as well. And then just last year, I published my first book. It's called Free Up Your Business, 50 Secrets to Bootstrap $1 Million Companies. And again, it's really all about the lessons that we've learned over the past 8 years of building a couple of companies and going through the trials and tribulations of running a business and seeing the ups and downs. And there's a lot of stories in there from both businesses, so you can kind of see where those lessons came from.
That's so cool. And I mean, I assume, is it available on Amazon.com?
Yep, of course. It's available on Amazon.com. The purchase, of course.
Yeah, of course. That's so cool. I it's really impressive. I would like to stay in touch. I mean, I think that there's some perspective that not only our readers, but, you know, a lot of our clients, I mean, like you, I think the fact that, you know, we do a lot of custom publishing and the fact that you do writing, it not only says that, look, hey, I'm running businesses, and yes, there's a financial driver there, but when you write, you're observing. And, you know, observation is kind of what you and I were talking about. We all need to kind of look up from our devices on some level. But it's also, you know, I give anybody who does that a lot of credit. I mean, here you are. Not only someone who started young and dove right in with some drive and has had some success, but you're observing and chronicling that, and then you're sharing it. And that's why, you know, I've tried to encourage a lot of people that they've got to act like media companies and they have to do that. So you should be commended for that. And if with your permission, I'd probably would like to reach out and maybe find some other vehicles that we could share some of your insight with. That'd be cool.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. I always like to, very similar to what you said, I always look at writing as an opportunity to kind of relive a certain experience. And you start to look at it a little bit of a different way when you're writing about it and then trying to share it with someone else. So It's always been a good learning and relearning experience for me as I've been continuing to grow as an individual.
So last thing, you know, I did notice this, you know, when I looked at your LinkedIn deal, that you're the founding father of Delta Tau Delta fraternity at Quinnipiac. And I was at Alpha Chapter at Allegheny College 100 years ago at Delta Tau Delta. So I could
get
give
out
you,
of here.
I swear to God. And so, you know, this is a podcast. Otherwise I'd give you the secret handshake, but, you know, just know. I thought, isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? So that's why I knew
that's
this
hilarious.
Was, it is. It's hysterical. So, lot of, funny commonality. So, but listen, Connor, this has been great. And, you know, we'll be sure to polish up some of the technical difficulties, but I on some level, I think that's kind of ironic, but, I think your insight's fabulous. Congratulations on your success. Keep it going. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to reach out again. Okay.
Yeah, please do. You have my email. We can set up a time to chat at any time. I really appreciate you having me on today. And it is funny how many similarities it seems like we have. So
I know.
It was great to chat and I had a lot of fun.
Cool. All right, Connor, go get them.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. See ya. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. I hope you will concur that the conversation with Connor Gillivan was really, really interesting and does make us all feel a little guilty. Here's a young man that is really pushing the envelope, and it all comes from drive. It comes from that serial entrepreneur. And I think that the lesson there is that it has nothing to do with age or generation. It is all about want to. I also really appreciated the fact that here's a guy who has started a couple businesses and they've been technology based, but the human element is really important. And our industry is going through that. We are traditionally a human based industry, and technology has crept in and is taking over. But I think that it drives home a point that we always seem to make on this podcast, and that is that human interaction is really, really important. So I just can't thank Connor enough for taking the time. I really enjoyed that conversation and want to remind everybody that this episode of Brushstrokes was brought to you by Ricoh. And if you visit Ricoh-USA.com, you can imagine change. Remember to face the future with confidence. Commercial and industrial printing solutions from Ricoh are designed to support your vision, your business, and your future. So without taking too much more of your time, I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind everybody that even though it's a crazy world out there, be the buffalo, keep pushing forward, and I'll talk to you next time on Brushstrokes. Take care.